This car is the most honest car you ever see.
It's been a dream ever since I've had it.
The first time I heard that engine screaming, I thought, I gotta have one of those.
For me, the cars have personality.
What's great about a BMW Classic is the community that surrounds it.
When you listen to that, that's why we're here.
Welcome to Classic Heart, the BMW Group Classic podcast. My name is JP, and our guest today is Megan Kohler from Switzerland. Megan has become one of the new lights in the influencer scene in our automotive world, with a background of racing and managing several social media accounts for some racing drivers and other exciting things she's doing in the car world. She just recently started her own YouTube channel, and we cannot wait to have a conversation about how things started and where it's going to in the future. Thank you very much for joining us, Megan.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Megan, I think it's okay to say that you are a little bit of a car nut.
We can say so, yeah, I think so.
Because you run an own agency, which is called Apex, if I'm not mistaken, which is consulting different kind of brands, also car related. You're involved into motorsports. You just started your own YouTube channel. You work and consult for a very cool dealership in Geneva, a dealer brandship, I would say, because that's more like a dealership. It's more a brand. So I think, how did it all start?
Well, it's a funny story regarding the start of my career, because I started when I was 16. In Switzerland, you can choose in between studying, which was not my case, or do an apprenticeship. And when you do an apprenticeship, you have to do some lessons in the branch where you're working. So I had to do some mechanic lessons because I was working in a car industry. And then when I started the mechanic lessons, I think that's where all started from the beginning. So I was not doing mechanic, I was doing administrations. But I was so interested about mechanics, so I started to do all my breaks and spend all my lunchtime with the mechanics guys between and behind their shoulders to see what they were doing. So I think it started, it really started from there. Before that, I was interested about cars, I think, without knowing it, because I have some souvenir of me in the car with my mom, trying to remember and to recognize the cars that were in front of her. But seriously, it started from the apprenticeship part, so when I was more or less 16.
And did you have any mechanical knowledge beforehand, or was it just thrown into the cold pool?
Nothing. Like, really nothing. I used to be, and I'm still, very curious of everything. So I remember asking some things to my mom or my dad regarding gearbox, like how it was working, but for sure they were not mechanics people, so they were not able to explain me exactly how it was working. So I remember being just curious about it. You can imagine that when you do a commercial apprenticeship, you don't think that you're going to have some mechanic lessons. So all the other persons which were doing the lessons with me, who were working in other dealership brands from Switzerland, they were like so pissed off to do the mechanic lessons. And I was the only one very happy and very, very curious and so happy to go every 2 weeks to do those lessons. And at the end of the apprenticeship, I had bad notes on some branch because I'm not very good in everything, but I had the best result from the French part of Switzerland in administrative cars industry from the country.
Mega.
So it's funny, now I lost a lot because I don't practice it. But it was really, really like funny, because I've been my whole life very bad at school. So it was a good way to start also my career at some point. And I knew at that time that it was going to be a big part of my life for the next years.
And then, so it's... obviously, that cars were before motorsport, but you also have quite made a career in motorsport.
Yes.
Not so actively, but tell us more about that rule.
Well, it was a brand that goes into cars, classic cars and motorsports. So I was lucky enough to be able at some point to go on track with customers or with press or just like organizing events. So it was cool because I started to go on tracks when I was maybe 18, 19, something like that. And it was same as cars in general. Like I went on track and I was like, wow, this is so cool. Because not only because it's track and you see fast cars and they all look amazing. It's just like the technique that you have to put into it to see the mechanics working in the paddocks, in the box, just to see like they put their heart on the cars. So it was more like a big step for me to just see how big the industry was and how big the knowledge and the culture of cars industry is big. So I started with that when I was 19, being on there on place for some events. So I think the first event that I attended was ex-WTCR that was called WTCC, so Touring Car.
Yes.
Which was cool because it's touring cars. So at some point, it's the cars that you can drive more or less on the road.
Yes.
And then I did my first MotoGP race. And then I think the big step was Le Mans. I did Le Mans, I think, six times now. I went to all the most famous track from Europe, more or less. I was lucky enough also to go to Bahrain. I've been to Formula Electric many times with one of my customers, also one of the driver.
Yeah.
So it's really cool because all the championships are really different.
I think, you know, working in motorsport is like working on the source, right? Because that's really where all the things that you see in the end developed in road cars is actually developed in motorsport, like for active steering, whatever. And I think that's so exciting about it. And I also like the whole team play in motorsport is so interesting. So everyone in the team has his own role and is very important.
Well, now it's been like 15 years that I'm working in the industry. It's also tricky and hard at some point working in motorsports. First, of course, because it's still a boy industry, but also because you enter a family. And people don't think about it, but it's really a family. The drivers, the mechanics guys, the engineer guys, they are all together more or less the whole year. So at some point, it's like entering a family. And when people don't know you, you could feel that sometimes they are looking at you. They don't know what you're going to do. They don't exactly understand what you do also. You are a girl also. So it's funny because one of the team that I'm still working with at the moment, I'm the only girl on some races.
Really?
And I'm talking of a team with 40 people. So it's funny because I've been with boys my whole life. So I don't see it. It's someone actually who came to me saying like, oh, is there other girl than you in the team? And I was like, well, no, because I didn't notice it. But it's really hard because at some point you have to work on that to make people trust you and to enter the family. So it's good, but it's tricky when you start at some point. And I think that's one of the reasons why motorsport is such a small and a private bubble at some point.
Yeah. I mean, you work very close with some racing drivers and you do handling some of the tasks they need to do. So what are your activities during a race like Le Mans, for example, together with the racers?
So one of the drivers actually, which is Sébastien Buemi, which is a Swiss driver who won 4 times Le Mans. Last time was 2022. So he is really, he's very famous in motorsports in general because he did many, many things, but especially in Le Mans and the endurance championship. So I'm doing all of his social media communication. Mm-hmm. I take care also of some of his sponsor. Yep. So I don't look for them, but as soon as it's signed, I take care of them if they ask something specific. So that's
what could that
one
be?
Well, we had a demand last year when I was in Bahrain. Mm-hmm. So it was the last race of the season for endurance championship for him. It was the race that they needed to win or finish in front of Alpine at that moment to win the championship. So it was an important race. So yeah. I went there because one of the sponsors asked if it was possible to do a takeover on their social media made by Seb. But it's impossible for them to do that because they don't have time. So what I had to do is imagine what I wanted to put on their social media. Like what's interesting for people that don't know anything about motorsports? What could be interesting to watch on stories? So I did a little timetable of, okay, this is going to happen. So for the whole weekend, I did all the edits, the video edits of Seb signing autographs, Seb changing himself, putting his helmet, doing meetings with technical guards or things like that. And at some point I asked Seb, can you just say, like at the end of the qualifying, can you just say what's your feeling? So he just took a video. Hi guys, I'm Seb. We're done with qualifying. We finished. I'm happy. We'll see tomorrow what's going to happen during the race. And then I did all the edits to make it feel like it was Seb who did the whole takeover on the social media. But it was not the him directly, it was me. One of the examples that I can do for sponsors.
Okay, I mean, it must be clear to everyone that someone who's participating in a WEC championship has not the time to really take care of his social media.
Some people don't know that, you know?
Really?
Yeah, oh. Some people are really naive. It's really funny because sometimes it's funny to talk to some people who are like impressed and say like, what? It's not him? So it's funny.
I mean, it's natural. You always underestimate how hard race drivers work. I mean, I remember the Classic Heart episode where we had Bruno Spengler, the famous DTM driver, as a guest. And I can tell you the amount of work these guys putting into 24 hours of a day is absolutely incredible. So everyone who would like to learn more about training and concentration should really listen into that episode, because Bruno gives very interesting insights of what he's doing to concentrate, to focus, all these kind of things. But let's get back to Seb. At every race, you're around with him. So what does the schedule look like?
I'm always impressed because I'm doing many things in my life. But when I compare with what he does, I don't understand how it's even possible to do that much. So he's driving for Toyota for in WEC, so in Endurance Championship with the LMP1 car. WEC, they have seven races per year. But Formula E, formally, it's like between, depending of the year, between 13 and 15 races.
It's crazy.
So they go to the races. They have to be on place more or less between 4 or 5 days on place. For Seb, he's also a third driver and working for Red Bull F1. So he does a lot of simulator with Red Bull in England for Verstappen car and the other one, Perez cars for Formula One. All the time, it's not in Switzerland. It's always more or less in England or in France or in Germany. So he has to travel also on those places. And then when he has some times, which is not very often, he has to do some things with the sponsors. So like night events with customers from the brands or podcasts or interviews or anything, videos, things like that. So at some point, he doesn't have many days off, if I can say so. And I think of what I see more or less, I cannot say a right number, but he's like away from home, I'll say easily 200 days per year, which is a lot. That means that you are like never home. So, I mean, it's part of their life. It's a normal life for them.
Oh, crazy. So, Megan, what do you think? Why do we love cars? Where is the magic? What is it? Because in the end, it's just rubber, metal, and that's it.
For me, it's an emotion. I'm always saying that. It's just an emotion mm-hmm. and a feeling that you have. You know, I drive many cars, modern one, the latest one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be premium cars or usual cars. And I drive classic cars. I do also ride motorbikes. I mean, it's just, for me, it's a feeling. You will never enter a car having the same feeling with another brand and another model. You will always have to say something about a car. It can be, I love the way the steering wheel is, or I love the noise of the engine, or I hate the seats, or I hate the look of the car, or I love the look of the car, but I hate to drive it. You have a feeling at some point. And that's what I think is like magic in cars, especially for sure with classic car, because it's a heritage and it's just like the culture from where everything is coming from. You enter a classic car, you enter a whole world. Because you don't, many times the classic cars that I drove are much more older than me. But I have the feeling that, you know, I enter history.
Yes.
And also a story. like from where the car is coming, who had it before, what did the guy did or the girl did with the car when he had it. Also with my cars, it's the same. I mean, I had a feeling when I drove them, it's exactly the same at some point. So I'll say we love cars because it's providing us a feeling and an emotion.
I think that's a very, very beautiful way to describe it. But are the Kohlers a car crazy family, or are you the first who is so much digging into the world of cars?
I have three older brothers.
Yes.
More or less into a boy atmosphere and family.
Yes.
I'm the only one. I'm the only one. It's always so funny because people are like, oh, you must have a crazy car family. I'm like, no, like not at all. Like I remember my mom saying, like, you know, I had three boys, but I had to have a girl which has to work into boys industry.
Yeah.
And like boy things.
Very funny.
Yeah. It's a funny story.
And let's keep the funny things on going, because you have fun with a very special classic car, haven't you?
Yes, I do. The story is this one. I remember driving my first classic car and I was so impressed to feel everything on the ground.
Yes.
To hear the engine, to have the feeling of driving, just because I didn't have any power steering on the car. So I drove the car, I came back home and I looked at myself and I was like, there's no way I'm not going to have a classic car for like a weekend car. So I was 19 and I was like, okay, I'm going to give myself an objective, which was to buy a weekend car, classic car, before my 30. And I put some money on the side and I was like, yeah, maybe something is going to push me and I'm just going to fall on into something. And at some point, as you know, I'm working for the garage in Switzerland, which is Clausen, which sells and resells classic cars and modern cars. And they have amazing cars. Very expensive for some of them, but sometimes you have some cars that are a little bit less expensive. And I had to do an event with them, with our customers. And the director came to me and he said, oh, you see the Mini? You're going to have it for the weekend. And I already saw the Mini in the garage and I already said to myself, I like that car because it's a black color and I'm always wearing black clothes. So I was like, yeah, it's good. It's perfect for me because it's like something very the way I like. But I was not attending anything. I just was a Mini. Very nice, very cool, but I didn't notice anything. So I took the car for the weekend and I had so much fun with that car. Like,
really?
I enjoyed my life like hell for that. Like, I promise you. I mean, it was, first, it's a funny car. Second, it's like cute as hell. Second, third, it's like the look, because it's a Mini 40th anniversary. Mm-hmm. So it looks like a rally Mini. So like the look is like insane, really look like a motorsport, like rally car. And the feeling is so nice because you have a small engine for sure. It's only like 63 horsepower. It's like a 1.3 injection car. So it's not a big engine. But because it's a small car, it's so much fun because it's like so light. So it's like, I had so much fun with that car. And when I came back from the weekend, I had to give back the car to the garage. And I remember taking the keys and looking at the director and saying, like, I think we need to talk together because I'm not sure I'm going to give it back to you. And he was like, I knew it. And I was like, how do you know it? And he was like, yeah, I knew it. The car is black. I knew it. I knew it. And I was like, yeah, thank you for the present. So anyway, we had a deal and I finished at the end to buy it. So I buy actually my classic car and my weekend car at the age of 29.
Perfect.
So I had everything good in terms of my objective. But actually, that's what I was explaining from the beginning. I had an emotion with that car.
I mean, a lovely story. Does your car have a name, or is it not the emotion not that close?
No, my car doesn't have a name. I am not, even with my animals, you know, I do horse wedding and I have cats and things like that. I'm not giving nicknames to my animals neither. It's just like my Mini.
Yeah, which is, I think, also showing the ownership. So don't mess with Megan and her Mini.
Yeah,
I would say M&M.
Only issue when I had the problem this summer is during summertime, because I don't have any climatization in the car,
yes,
which is normal knowing the car, but which at some point when it's like 30 degrees outside and the car is black,
yes,
and that you are in the traffic, because traffic is awful in Geneva. At some point, I promise you, you prefer to be in a normal car. Especially when you have to go to a meeting with a customer or something like that, and you're just like dying in the car because it's so hot. So at some point, you know, I tried many times, people were laughing in between the traffic because I opened the door and I just like balanced the door to make some wind inside the car because I was burning in the car, and people were looking and be like, what the hell is she doing? And I was like, it's so hot. Like, I'm just like dying. And some of the people who I crossed the road with the Mini, and I did that, they were, because a lot of drivers on motorsport and on track, they do that. So it's very funny because some people saw me doing that and they were like, oh, you're a racing driver. And I was like, no, I'm just dying. So, but yeah, for sure. The Mini is like, and you know, like it's the Mini. Everybody loves Mini. It's just incredible. The way people love that car, it impressed me all the time. Even with, which I am very happy with that, is that when I see young kids, yes, they love it. They totally love it. And older, like the parents, they're like, oh, I used to have one. Or, oh, I knew someone who had one. I love it. It's so cute. They take pictures. They ask me 10,000 of questions all the time. The Mini is such a special car in the heart of everyone. So it's funny because I knew it without knowing it that much when before I bought the car.
I think the Mini has this, you always want to hug the Mini. You see a Mini, a classic one especially, and you just want to hug him or it.
Yep.
It's so absolutely in love with it. Like this little tiny headlights that look at you. Then I think yours has the special fog lights in the front, like four little fog lights, makes a bit more like rally-ish as you described. I mean, the 40th anniversary, they are very cool because they look like, from the inside, they look like a London club. From the outside, they have this rally-ish style. And I think that's very cool. And you dedicated actually when you choose to switch from Instagram in addition to do more work because you had the feeling that you don't work enough, you started your own YouTube channel. And I think the first video was dedicated to the Mini, right?
Yeah, the Mini was the first video just because people asked me so many questions about my car.
Yes.
Like so many questions. There was no way I was going to reply to everyone one by one. Or at some point I was like, okay, I'm going to do the YouTube channel. What will be the first subject? And it was logic to start with the Mini because I was like, okay, guys, you want to know more about the Mini? I'm just going to do a video. And I'm not going into too much details because my objective with the YouTube channel is to make people understand that you can like cars without being mechanic or too technic. Like I would like to have more girls and maybe more boys that just think it's a something too technical for them. You can like cars without being a professional into it. You can like just to have a car for a weekend, to have dinner or to have lunch and to have a weekend free with someone. I mean, that's the objective. But the Mini, because it's a special edition, as you said, it's a 40th edition. So it's the last cars before they were changing with when they sailed the brand to BMW.
Yes.
So it looks like exactly the same car as the one from 1959, but it's a little bit, but I mean, you don't have any power steering and no climatization, but I have some things that the first one don't have.
So if you listening and you want to see and get some answers about the Max Mini, please go and find Mac Cola on YouTube, and then you see all information and you don't need to bother Mac with any questions anymore, everyone out there. But I mean, the YouTube channel means also loads of work in terms of creative work. Where did you get the inspiration for the videos? So the Mini was clear. So it was like more practical to say, you know, I got so many questions asked, so I do a service to the public and answer all the asked questions. So here you are. So that's more like a social work. Right?
I'm not the usual influencer or person on social media that prepare everything years in advance. Like everything I did in my life was just passion. And I think that's what makes me the person I am today. I didn't say to myself, I'm going to do a YouTube channel and the first three videos are going to be that. The only thing I did was I wanted a YouTube channel, but at some point it takes so much time to do that and so much effort because I do very, very good quality video also.
Yes.
It's like very a big step in terms of video. It's not like the other guys that start with their iPhone or just a GoPro. I mean, it costs a lot to do that. So sometimes it was just more a question of how can I start the YouTube channel and to make it functionable and also sponsored at some point the fastest way possible. So the only objective was to do two kind of video. One is the vlog.
Yes.
That is the more or less the same kind of video I did for Bahrain during the last race of the championship, the endurance championship. And the other one is like a big video, which is the mini or the IWC rally de Genève. It's just like I have a planning in my year and during the next months, and I just checked and I see something that could be interesting for people.
Yeah.
That's the only way I'm doing. So
yes.
I'm not stressed about the YouTube channel. It doesn't have to be every week a video, but it's a lot of work. That's the only thing people sometimes don't understand. Like just like a video of 7 minutes, you have no idea how much work it is. I mean, it's just like crazy in terms of preparation and then the day of filming and then the day of editing. Forget it. It's like crazy.
I think we should pay respect to all influencers around there who do a great job on that one because it is a lot of work. It is. Normally you work just behind the scenes, actually, like as you said, with Apex, your agency, what you do is more like supporting drivers with their social media work and stuff like this. Was it a big step for you to get in front of the camera or was it like, yeah, I do it?
You have no idea how complicated it is to be in front of the camera when you're not used to it. And I'm sure it was the same maybe for you. But for me,
it was
so difficult. So difficult.
Why?
Because I'm so, like, sometimes I feel like, I'm saying to myself, like, Megan, it's already difficult. Why do you want to make it even more difficult because of the language? Because all I do is not in French, it's in English. English is not my native language. Like sometimes I hear myself talking in English, I'm like, what is she saying? Why? How is it possible she does it? So you never know what people are going to say. You never know how to react. And it's just a strange feeling. But being in front of the camera, talking in a language that is not your native language, and sometimes talking about technical things, you lose your brain. Yeah, I promise.
Absolutely.
You have to put yourself out of your comfort zone a lot by doing that. So,
We're not native speaker, full stop. So I do, in this podcast, I think I do so many mistakes and that's the point. But don't be shy about it because that's, you know, at least we speak another language. So let's be proud of that
fact.
Of
course. Yeah, for sure.
So, but speaking about the videos, because I really like the way that you took the guts and stepped in front of the camera. If you could choose one car that you would like to feature in one of your videos, the one and only car, the dream car, what would it be?
It's impossible to reply. It's the same as, you know, there's so many. It's impossible.
I hear this all the time.
But you have no idea. It's like impossible to find. First,
okay, what would be the dream car for this week?
Well, for sure, it's going to be a classic car.
Yes.
Because I love classic cars even more than modern cars. Of course, I like modern cars. I had the chance to drive a Bugatti. I would love to do a video about it because I was so impressed by the craziness of
Which
the car.
Which one, the Chiron or the Veyron?
I drove the Super Sport Veyron.
Ah, wow.
Veyron Super Sport et Veyron, same. Anyway, I was lucky enough, but it was not very long. I would love to just to do it because I was like really impressed. Anyway, so that's for the modern one. But for the classic one, I mean, GTO cars, 250, 288.
Nah, that's the obvious choice, Megan. Everyone wants this, yes.
Yeah, but of course everyone wants this.
Yeah.
No, I had people who asked me, what is your dream car to buy? I don't know. It depends on what I want. Do you want me to choose a car to go to ski? Do you want me to choose a car to go to work? Do you want me a car to choose to go to weekends? It's not the same car.
You just said that you need a car for skiing, you need a car for this, and you need a car for that. But could we try to nail this a little bit down? So what would you like to have in your garage that makes you feeling comfortable driving and also having a lot of fun while driving?
I'll have my Mini because I'm not going to sell my Mini.
Yes,
sure.
Very good.
Because people are asking me, are you going to sell it? No, I'm not going to sell it. I think if I can, I'm going to keep it my whole life.
And the story of your Mini shows that the car chose you and not you chose the car.
Yes.
Megan, are you afraid or concerned that, you know, working in this environment and having access to some of the most beautiful cars around there, that you get somehow used to it, that you lose the excitement of driving, for example, a McLaren 720S or a Bugatti Supersport, Bugatti Veyron Supersport?
No, I'm way too passionate to be used to it. You know, I'm doing horse riding since 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I ride a horse, it's another feeling, it's another way of doing it. Same with cars. It's not going to happen. And I worked so hard to be where I am now, especially yes. because I'm a girl. So I promise you, the hard work from the last 10 years pays off now. But
yeah.
it's the same with horses. At some point, if you are really passionate, you never get used to it. If you are used to it, it's like you're not very passionate about it at some point.
Yeah.
That's my point of view.
You know, I see it the same way, but I have to say for myself, this way I was asking a question to be, because I was interested in your answer, because I'm doing this job now for 20 plus years for the same company still. And every year I went to Pebble Beach. And every year I was super excited to go to Pebble Beach, right? To the Monterey mm-hmm. Car Week and then seeing all these beautiful cars. And I think in my 12th or 11th year, I just was there standing in Carmel when the tour was passing by and I didn't feel excited. I was really like, okay, another 250 California long wheelbase. Yeah. Okay, another nice Bugatti Type 35, blah, blah. You know, that was for me a thing where I said, okay, I have to stop going there. I just have to take a break because I was sheerly overwhelmed. And I think Monterey is really, really crazy in that sense because you see so many cars not even participating in one of the competitions, but you see them driving around from people they bring down there and whole California brings out their car jewels to show off. And so I had this like, you know, then I stopped it for 2 years. And then I was back and the excitement was back there as well.
Of course, I can understand that after some time, it can be too much.
Mm-hmm.
I did 7 times Le Mans, but all the time it's different. Weather, race, mm-hmm. people that I met, how I came back, the feeling that I had, if I was happy, if I was exhausted, if I was unhappy because I had a bad conversation or anything. Same with the rest. At some point, I traveled so much with the brands and things like that. Sometimes I'm more like exhausted rather than just like not be excited, the thing.
Yeah.
But as soon as I enter the plane or I take my car to go somewhere, I'm like, I'm so lucky to do that. So I think from my side, it's more like the grateful and the gratitude of doing everything, even if it's exhausting. The only thing is that I hope I will not lose my positive attitude and just like the excitement.
Mega. I think I hope that you can keep that. And I think that's a very precious feeling. And let's hope that this will never go away because that makes it beautiful.
I hope to, yeah.
And you know, we have a special section in our podcast. We ask all our guests who are all specialists in their very own field about some advice, do's and don'ts. And in your case, as you made the step from behind the camera, in front of the camera, starting your own YouTube channel, please share with us the important steps for starting your very own YouTube channel.
First thing is stay true to yourself. And I think it's 70% of what you do. And it's not only in terms of YouTube channel, it's in general, in professional way, in private way. you have to be yourself. Don't try to be someone else. Don't be too much into social media and watch what other people are doing and you think it's cool, so you have to do the same, which is not true. First, because someone is already doing it. And second, because it's not you. So for sure, stay true to yourself and work a lot and stop complaining, but just work. I work hard all the time. I'm like really exhausted sometimes, many times, all the times, but I work because I know that at some point it's going to work out. So yes. I'll say, stay true to yourself, keep working like hell, and don't listen what other people, especially on social media. Social media can be amazing, but it can be like such a bad way and a bad place in terms of comments and people on it. So it's be aware that social media is cool, but it can be awful and it can turn very fast. And the other thing is just like try to do something that people are not doing. Because if you do something like a copy paste of someone else, it's not going to work out. So do something else and try to do something nice.
So you definitely say quality is also one of the things you need to strive for. So if you do something, do it 100% right.
Yeah. Even if it takes hours and you're going to bed very late. It's like that. As I said, I don't want to live a life with regrets. I prefer to live a life knowing that I did and I tried my whole heart in everything. That's how I work.
I have to say, these are very nice words for our closing. Thank you very much for allowing us to have a glimpse into your professional life, into your life, and sharing this with us. And we cannot wait to have more content, quality content from Megan.
Thank you for listening to me. I hope it was interesting.
For sure it was. And once again, thank you, Megan, for taking the time joining us. And to the audience, thank you very much for tuning in. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe to not miss another episode of Classic Heart. And please leave us some positive comments or ratings as you like. Thank you all. And don't forget to tune in 2 weeks. See you then.